Welcome back, everybody. This is CA, and you are listening to Simple Tales on Transformational Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, changing the way we listen to the world. And my guest today is Susan Dugan, who is an avid Course in Miracles student and teacher. And as per her bio, Susan practices, teaches, and forgives in Denver, Colorado. I love that, Susan. Her previous ACIM book, Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness, was a finalist in the 2012 National Indie Excellence Awards. She continues to blog about her ongoing forgiveness journey and share course teachings on her popular website, www.forayzinforgiveness.com. And I'll make sure that I put that in the chat room so you can all see it and you can click on that and go check out Susan. So Susan has a new book, Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want, which is available starting today, Tuesday, June 18th. So Susan, thank you so much for being willing to come on the show and to promote your new book and to talk about A Course in Miracles.
Thanks for having me, CA. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, well, it's just such a joy, and I'm thrilled with your new book. And I know that, you know, the hour is going to go so fast, and we're hardly going to be able to cover everything in the book. But I guess what I want to just say right off is you are just my hero in terms of the way you take course materials and you make them so incredibly practical. Because as many people know, whether or not I'm talking astrology or I'm talking A Course in Miracles, I always come back to, what do we do with it, though? How do we make it practical? And in your new book, I have not read the whole thing yet, but I was just laughing over the chapter about the scallop potatoes, you know, because in fact, I'm flipping through and I'm reading this section and I'm going, she's got like a recipe for potato, what do you call it, au gratin? And I'm like, okay, now why is she putting a recipe in her book? And that chapter is just so hilarious. And I'm going to tell people just even, you know, this is so much what the course is about, is just figuring out how to take these spiritual principles and apply them in our everyday life and just really recognizing that it's never about what we think it is. And so just the way you said that, you know, even making this dish, it's not about what you think it is. It's about holding on to your daughter's love or trying to be able to hold on to what you call the child's love by mastering her favorite dish. So I just want to say thank you so much for taking these principles and making them so delightful and so readable and so understandable.
Well, that's really sweet. Thank you. And yes, there's a number of recipes in here. and you know, I mean, it really, what it always starts with the love of something in the world, or of a relationship that we have in the world. Of, you know, there's this book is just filled with stories about my daughter and practicing forgiveness and my relationship with her. And during the time that I was writing this book, it kind of covers a journey of the last 2 years of her high school, you know, experience and my relationship with her during that. And so really her going off to college is what culminates, you know, with a lot of the stories in this book. And so it's about really looking at that role of mother, daughter, you know, what the course calls our special relationships, and seeing how, for me, it was a real undoing of my neediness in that role, you know, feeling a sense of loss over separating with my daughter and not sure how, you know, what the next phase of our relationship together was going to be, and learning to go inward. And the course is always inviting us to do that, to access that real, true relationship with our right mind, with that symbol of wholeness and love that's all inclusive and not specific in our right mind, that's available to all of us. And when the course says that when we do that, then that sense of loss is filled, you know, then we can come from a place that's beyond need in our relationships, and things go a whole lot better when we do that, you know. And but in the meantime, while we're waiting to return to right-mindedness, you'll find in this book a lot of comfort food recipes, because I did a lot of waiting, and I'm, you know, I was very identified with my role as nurturer, and so you know, it helped me to make these recipes and to work with forgiveness within at the same time. So that's the reason that you'll see some of that. It's not only a recipe book. There's a few of them in there, however, and they are related to this forgiveness practice.
Yes. No, why didn't you call this then Recipes for Forgiveness?
Well, I suppose I could. I called it Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want, which is a lesson from a title of a lesson from the course, but because that's what I'm learning. I mean, I think this was my second book and represents another couple years in the journey of practicing this. So it ended. My daughter's in her second year of, just finished her sophomore year of college right now. And so, the stories in this ended about 2 years ago too. So the journey changes as you go along the way. But I think what I was learning during this time was really that, that the world doesn't offer anything that I really want that's going to bring me any permanent happiness or really get to that yearning for real union that we're all looking for, but that forgiveness, the Course's forgiveness of this belief that we're different, that we're separate, that from our Creator and from each other, learning to practice that in the moment does indeed offer everything that I really want. And, you know, it's not my first default position. My default position is always to believe the ego, that it's all about getting my personal needs met. But I can learn, the journey begins and ends now in the moment in which I choose to avail myself of this different inner teacher within that is always, always available to show me that I have everything I need, that we're all, we're all the same and we're all completed and love can't go away. So I think it does. I think it's aptly titled.
Yes.
And in that sense.
Well, your next book can be Recipes for Food.
Yeah, maybe.
How about that?
We'll see if I have any emerging ones.
Yes. Well, and speaking of that, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about today is it's funny. So often when I mention the course to people who don't study it, they'll say something like, oh, well, I've never taken that course. Hmm. And it's always intriguing to me because I see it very much as a self-study, even though I understand that many people are in, groups. And in fact, you've led a group in Denver for some time now. And I recognize how important that is. But one thing I would like you to talk about for at least the next few minutes is, kind of that idea. What is the recipe for forgiveness? Because I'm the one who's always saying, well, how do you do it? And as you know, the course is kind of famous for saying, we're not going to give you how do you do it? It's not about what you do, it's about what you think and changing your mind and undoing some of your belief systems. But on an individual level, or just on a daily basis, whether or not that's as an individual or whether it's in a group, can you give us some of those, what do you do? I mean, how do you kind of come to that place where you change your mind? Would you mind sharing some of your kind of individual or, things from your individual practice and your insights?
Sure. Well, and again, everybody's process may be a little bit different, but I think what the course is, forgiveness, of course, in miracle style is very different from forgiveness of the world. And it's not about forgiving something real that someone did to me in, out there. It's not about my feeling that I'm forgiving being a victim of something or someone else in my life. The course is really about beginning to pay very, very, very vigilant attention to what I'm thinking and feeling and what kind of what's going on in my head about my experience. What stories am I telling myself? And so the process, I mean, at its very most basic level, and this is where I started and I think is very helpful when people first start, there are kind of three steps of forgiveness that you work with, but as you said, it's a self-study. It's an internal process. It's not about anything that we're actually doing. It's really coming to that recognition that we're wrong, that our reactions are wrong, but there's a part of our mind that knows what's right, that knows the right way. And so it's a questioning in which we first, whenever we're finding ourselves reacting to anything outside ourselves, to really stop and say, I'm not upset for the reason I think. It's not because of what seems to be happening out there. The second step in that would be, the problem is in my mind, or I could see peace instead of this is another way to look at that. And so that brings you back to the mind. The Course is always telling us that we're not these individual bodies, you know, as real as it seems, vying for survival, we really are, you know, one mind that's in a field of complete love, which is impossible for us to grasp in our current state, but we can experience, we can taste through these holy instants in which we change our mind. And so the first step would be, you know, I'm not upset for the reason I think whenever we become reactive. The second step is I could see peace instead of this. You know, it's the problem is in my mind, and the problem is always a reflection of that belief that we are separate and that we deserve punishment from it, that somehow we, you know, we separated from our source and our perfect union with God and each other, and you know, we're somehow going to be hunted down and punished for it by by an angry God that we created in the ego's image. And so that second step, I could see peace instead of this, brings me back to my mind. And then the third step is that surrendering kind of step, not to take this away from me, but to say, please let me join with your vision. Please help me to see this differently. And of course, the part of our mind that we're appealing to is that the Course calls it Holy Spirit, right mind, Jesus, but it's really that symbol, that memory of our true nature, which is you know, eternally loved and loving and united. And so that is an experience that, and then we wait. You know, forgiveness is still and quietly does nothing. It merely looks and waits and judges not. And that's probably the hardest part for us, because we want instant results. You know, we want to immediately feel better. We want to get rid of the feelings. And the Course is saying, no, you know, you have to look at the feelings and allow them. But you know, trust and wait for the real peace and the feeling of real love that you know you think is missing within to return. And that will happen if we're patient and we don't try to dictate what that's going to look like, which is another trap that we fall into of saying, you know, expecting that it's going to be some kind of spiritual mystical experience that we've, you know, with a lot of background music and and you know, and angels descending and so forth. And so you know, forgiveness is just quiet and calm and beyond need and complete, and it has no reference in this world, the result of that practice. And over time, it's just a moment to moment. Where's my mind right now? Where, you know, if I'm feeling anything but kind to everyone and everything, then I need help. And so it's a moment to moment practice of challenging all of my unkind thoughts and forgiving myself for that unkindness. It's coming from a place of fear, and it's a fear that we all share, again, that we're going to be somehow punished for this bogus crime of separating from our source that was really just an impossible dream.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love that you started this whole thing with, I think is it lesson number 5? I am never upset
yes.
for the reason I think.
Yep.
And that was, you know, from the very beginning, a powerful, powerful lesson. Because, of course, you go, what? What do you mean I'm not upset for the reason I think? And that is just so powerful to just stop and look at that. And that is one thing I think that becomes routine over time, is if you're willing to try to be the observer in your life and look at it, you know, I do. Now I can step back and just go, whoa, I'm not upset for the reason I think. Well, why am I upset? You know, but what's also kind of funny, and maybe this is, I don't know, multiple personality, but there are times too when I hear, you know, I hear the dialogue in my head and I'll say something so unkind, so ugly. And I literally sometimes even out loud go, stop that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is that? And it's funny because the dogs will kind of look at me going, what? What did we do? Because I've just yelled, stop that, you know? But it's funny because the other thing, and I know that we need to go to break really soon, so I'll just finish with this, and that is that, you know, as you look at it, it, sometimes it's not so much a matter of whether or not it's some big, like you said, chorus of angels and some spiritual moment. It really just comes down to, do I feel happy? Does this make me feel good? You know, to be angry at this person or to be frustrated by this situation, is this how I want to feel in this moment? And, you know, more and more, I just get to the point where I go, no, it's not.
Mm.
So if I can feel differently, that's what I want. So on that note, we are going to go to a break and we will be right back. This is CA with author Susan Dugan, and you are listening to Simple Tales on Transformational Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, changing the way we listen to the world. Welcome back, everybody. This is CA, and you're listening to Simple Tales here on 1-2 Radio, changing the way we listen to the world. And I am so fortunate today because my guest is author Susan Dugan, who has written just you've written so much stuff, but certainly this is your second book on A Course in Miracles that is literally available today on Amazon.com. And we are posting that link in the 1-2 Radio Facebook page so that you can go over there and you can check it out. And very possibly even buy it today. And I promise you, it is just a really delightful book, just like her first one. I love the way you write. It's so practical. It's so honest. And it makes me laugh. And how often do you say that about a book, you know, on A Course in Miracles or anything else? It's just, I always think you are so incredibly funny. But maybe it's just because I identify with your stories. And once I can hear you admitting to it, then I can laugh at myself, too. Mm.
Well, that's a great compliment. Thank you, because that's really what I hope. I hope that this is part of my practice. The writing that I do is really, you know, I post weekly on my blog. I write. I made this part of my forgiveness practice because I am a writer already, and it really is about just that looking again that I was talking about, and being really honest and paying real close attention to my ego thoughts. And I love what you were saying before the break of just, you know, how you say that idea of I'm never upset for the reason I think, but then we see these very hateful things and critical things and judgments that arise. And the more we work with this, the more we see them because we were so good at projecting them on somebody else before that, you know, a lot of the time we were very unconscious about it. So this is bringing it to the light. That's an uncomfortable process, but it is one in which we can say, you know, you were saying just stop it, and I do something similar. I just say shh, you know, like you would to a child. It's like enough already. And you know, I must say that 100 times a day because it comes up again and again. And what's happening for me recently is, especially as I really try to, you know, stay very present with the practice, and which teacher am I looking at, you know, at my experience with right now? Is it the ego or is it, you know, Jesus, Holy Spirit? You know, I know immediately if it's anything less than kind. And so, you know, doing that, I ask myself, do I want to keep doing this? Is this going to root me more firmly in this dream of defection from everything I want, or is it going to help me awaken from the dream? And you know, that question is pretty simple to answer, and so we stop. We stop and
right.
Say, I don't want this anymore. Our awareness that this is really hurting me, it becomes very, very acute, and we're much more sensitized to it. And so you just kind of can't stay there as long. You know, it's pretty yucky, and I think that is one of the great benefits of doing this work. But although the Course says I need do nothing, we do need to practice it. I mean, if we're not practicing it, reading that big blue book is just not going to, you can't force it into your into
right.
your field. It has to be practiced so that we can allow that undoing that you mentioned earlier.
And part of that practice, I mean, I'm assuming you did at one time, maybe more than once, go through the entire workbook lessons?
Oh, yes. The workbook is extremely important, and that's really what introduces us to the forgiveness practice and, you know, introduces us also to the metaphysical principles of the Course, but it kind of works us. It's that mind training that the Course, that's so important with this, which means that the practicing it from moment to moment in your daily life. And it's, I think, absolutely necessary to go through the Course says to go through the workbook at least once. I've gone through it, especially the first part of the workbook, just too many times to even count, but I think, but now, you know, I revisit it all the time because I think that it's so rich and it's such a great manual for how to practice this, how to apply it. And, you know, the themes in the workbook really speak to our heart too, in, you know, a very direct way. So I couldn't recommend it more highly. And again, I don't think if, you know, you can read the book and really, especially the passages that speak to our true self are so poetic and beautiful. But you'll miss the entire need to look at the ego thought system if you're just reading it.
Right. I would agree because for those of you who may not know, A Course in Miracles is actually three separate books. They're often published together. So, for instance, you can get a version where all three of them are together. But one is called the textbook. One is the workbook of lessons, the 365 daily lessons. And then there's a manual for teachers. And quite frankly, when I first got it, I opened it up to the text. I read maybe the first chapter, maybe half of it. And then I skipped immediately to the workbook and I started seeing the lessons. And I thought, okay, but you're not supposed to do more than one a day. So, you know, then I went immediately to the manual for teachers. This was all in one afternoon, you know, and I thought, okay, what does this have to say? And I actually found the manual for teachers much easier to read, and I'm glad I kind of started in on that and read it. So I read all three of them sort of simultaneously. But I love the workbook lessons, and as you know, on 1-2 Radio, we are doing the workbook lessons one every single day. You know, we started January 1st, and I hope that we will do that again in 2014. But one thing I can say is I just love them, and even though I guess, yes, you don't need to do them more than once, as you said, it's so rich. There's so much material in there that I so love that it's kind of like a good novel that I want to keep going back to, and I don't want to forget that. So to me, I just have to keep rereading those lessons because I love it. And in fact, just a few weeks ago, we did the lesson, which is, "Give me your blessing, Holy Son of God." And that one always kind of makes me smile because, of course, when I first started doing that one, I said it more as a curse, you know. I mean, in fact, I remember kind of walking around and when somebody would irritate me, which happens quite often, you know, I'd go, "Give me your blessing, Holy Son of God," you know. And it was just kind of funny because it was one of those things where I thought, this is kind of actually funny. I love this, you know. I love being able to say those words, whether or not my intention is positive or negative, because it keeps bringing me back to it, that yes, this is the person I have to forgive. This isn't about living in an ivory tower. This isn't about having the perfect life. It's being able to have peace in every single situation and relationship in your life. And the minute you stop and say, okay, this isn't about excluding this person from my life. This is about looking at them and saying, you know what? You are a projection of something in my own mind, and help me to say, give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. And so over time, that has just become one of my favorite lessons. And like I said, I love it. I smile when I say it, and it just almost seems kind of funny, but I love it because you just do it, and then your mind gets changed.
Yeah, yeah. I think the workbook, very funny what you were relating, because, you know, we're very resistant to this material, of course, and it's not, again, it's not our default position. We all start, the ego always speaks first, and so we're kind of just going through the motions sometimes when we start with these these lessons, but what it does is it helps us focus our mind and really look again at the content of all of the, you know, the ego is always trying to prove its own innocence at someone else's expense. And you know, the ego's whole strategy is to prove that it exists separately from, I exist separately from God and everyone else, but it's not my fault. You know, it's somebody else's. I want to pin it on someone else to get rid of that guilt in the mind. And so, you know, we're so automatically projecting all the time that when we stop ourselves, as the workbook invites us to do, and start to question all of those judgments and attack thoughts that we're having, we don't like it. It's, you know, what does that mean for me, the story of me? And of course, our secret fear is that we're going, what it means is that I'm a goner, you know?
Yeah.
And that ultimately I'm going to disappear. And that's what the ego's telling us, that, you know, we're going to have to be immediately hurled back into heaven, which means complete annihilation. And the Course is saying, no, this is a very gentle process if we let it be. And that we can, you know, that we will gradually begin to see that, again, this is forgiveness offers everything I want. And we're forgiving that original thought that we're separate from each other and not any guilt that's real in you or me. And that's the innocence that I'm really looking for. And so the workbook is, you know, shows us how to do that, you know, and it keeps us busy, I think, with a thought of the day or, you know, something very practical, that a theme from the Course, that because it's really all saying the same thing, that, you know, again, that no one's guilty here. We're one and we've never left our source. But, it, you know, it says it like everything else in the Course in a gazillion different ways. And it reaches us wherever we think we are, and we can use it. It's very practical and portable like that. And it gets us used to you know, I love at the end of the workbook, you know, we think we've mastered it, you know.
Yeah.
And then it says this course is a beginning, not an end, you know, and tells us that this is a journey that Jesus is going to take with us. And, you know, now the journey begins. And the journey begins again and ends really, you know, the ego wants us to think that it stretches way out in front of us. But in truth, it's happening at every moment. You know, from every moment, I have the choice to experience, to taste heaven or hell. That's my decision. And so it's very empowering that way. But, you know, the ego doesn't like it because it's not empowering to the ego. It's disempowering to the ego.
Right. And, you know, and for the most part, that's what we know.
Right.
That's what we understand. In fact, you know I'd written you a question and it said, do you want to talk about how A Course in Miracles has affected, changed, improved, or ruined your life?
Right.
And I kind of laughed when I said that. But, you know, that's it. You know, if I really think about it, there are so many ways it has really impacted my life. But one of them is I don't get to hold on to all those resentments, and I don't get to hold on to all that stuff anymore and feel self-righteous about it.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's ruined my ability to do that.
Right. You can't really have a good time gossiping anymore. Or, you know, I was a very political person. And so, you know, all of those judgments that I would let fly and or get involved with on Facebook or whatever, it isn't saying that I'm still involved in the world. And it doesn't say that we shouldn't be involved in the world. And I am involved in the world and still involved in politics, but not coming from a place of nastiness and you know, believing that one or the other, or that someone else is different from me or lesser than me because we disagree. You can't, you just can't get away with that anymore. Mm-hmm. It takes the fun out of that, you know.
But yeah,
we begin to realize though that it wasn't really that much fun, you know.
Well,
and
exactly.
That it was hurting us, and so I loved that question of yours because I think that it has for me very much impacted my life, you know, changed my life. It's totally changed the way I look at my special relationships. So much of my discontent was about people not doing things not going the way I wanted them to in my special relationships, people not, you know, my wanting to control and my needing for people to behave a certain way and all those things that we do, and being able to really begin to look at that and see that it was hurting me and you know, let it go has let so much more just, you know, kindness and lightness and I guess joy, you know, joy in the sense of real gratitude for this path, and also a sense of never, ever being alone. And, you know, that was something that I always had, this kind of sense of kind of a loneliness that was never filled, that I think it's called the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this, you know, developing this relationship with this presence within that we all share, we all have it, whether we're in touch with it or not, and really cultivating that for me. And in my book, I do it in very, I mean, part of this book too, it was really about developing for me, surprisingly enough, that relationship. The symbol that I used was Jesus. And it's surprising to me because I was raised Catholic and I consider myself a recovering Catholic and left the church and really didn't want anything to do with that terminology or the story or any of it. And yet for me, that there was a kind of a healing that took place around all of that through practicing the course. And so I have this, you know, image of a much my new and improved imaginary Jesus, who is very, you know, lighthearted and always loving and always, because the biblical Jesus was much like the biblical God. I mean, a little nicer, you know, but still very, very human. And that, you know, and had good days and bad days and excluded and you know, wasn't, and got angry and all of those things. And so this symbol that I work with, I bring everything that would hurt me, as the Course tells us to do, very specifically to that presence, that, you know, image that I have in my mind, and kind of wear myself out talking about it within. And by the end of that monologue, in which Jesus just sits and smiles and listens, and it's usually a kind of a humorous discussion as well, because the more you connect with spirit and that wholeness, it remember to smile at the tiny message of separation. So it's always smiling. It's always gently laughing at what we're doing because it's absurd. So anyway, that I think that's been a big part of my journey, and it's changed that feeling, that knowing that I always have a way out of my darkness, that that presence is always there. You know, I can turn away, but I will always go back to that, and I know that I will feel peace again, is and feel loved and loving, which is the part that I was kind of secretly walking around not feeling. That's changed everything for me.
Oh, good. Well, and you know, I really relate to that too, because if I ask myself that same question, it's very similar in that I think the human condition is to be lonely, and or the human condition is to feel like we have this gaping hole that we can never fill. And we try to understand it, and we try to fill it with relationships or with food or alcohol or any number of other things. Just being an accomplished person. You know, we have all these rules about if we could only do this, then we'd be happy and we would feel content. Well, what I think is I still have all those desires. I still have that issue. But what I recognize in myself is I'm not so frantic anymore. Now, I don't know if my friends and family would agree with that, but inside, that's it. It doesn't feel lonely. Inside, it feels as if I may not have all the answers to the universe, but it's sort of like I can live with that and I can be okay with that, because each time it's like I feel like there is an answer. And I think that's what the Course really did for me, is all of a sudden I said, there really is an answer. There really is a way to deal with this frustration or this anger or this upset. Now, it doesn't mean I always do it. I mean, sometimes I have my little pity parties. Sometimes I, you know, just go crazy with something. But it's like I can't do it anymore in good conscience, because there is always that kind of, okay, when are you going to stop this? You know, when are you going to just like take this? I mean, and in my mind, I'll tell you what I do, is I kind of have this space that I can really see it in my mind, you know, in a forest. And it's like that's where Jesus or the Holy Spirit is waiting for me. And all I have to do is show up. And that's it. Eventually, I will show up in that space. And as you said, often I kind of feel them laughing at me, going, really? How long did you have to do that for? You know? And you know, you kicked and you screamed and you did that. How long did you have to do that for? And so it does feel loving, it feels gentle, and it feels funny. And it helps me kind of just, you know, laugh at myself.
Yeah, I love that. And it you know, it is that thing of it totally returns you to that gentleness and that really laughing at yourself in a very kind way. And, you know, and I mean, it's very funny what we're doing. And I think so very, very comforting having that, you know, as you were saying, we always have an answer. Then, and the Course's answer to everything that seems to be, you know, everything that seems to be coming our way at rapid, you know, rapidly firing at us like a video game or something, is always, it's, you know, it looks at every problem as the same. There's no, in the Course, there's no hierarchy of illusions. Every problem has the same solution. Every problem's cause is the belief in separation in our mind, and, you know, believing that it had real effects. And the solution is bringing it back to the mind and looking at it with the part of our mind that knows it didn't. And that's it.
It didn't happen, right.
It didn't happen.
And you're right. How comforting is that? There's one problem and there's one solution.
One solution.
Period. We can choose to see it as a variety of flavors, but it really is one problem, one solution. And if you can believe this, we are within 5 minutes of needing to end this show. I can't believe it. And maybe you'll come back and talk to me again.
Oh, I'd love
but
that.
In this 5 minutes, I want to make sure everybody knows how they can get your book, which is at Amazon.com. And I will go ahead and I will post that. Do you think I should go ahead and read the link, or should they just go to Amazon.com and look for Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want?
Yeah, I think that would be
the best way.
Yes, that would be fine. And it should be right there. It would be, and it's just being released. So
today.
Today. So I think it would, and I'm told that it helps sales. If anybody is wanting to buy it, if you go in there today, it's helpful to the to Amazon, just kind of promotes books more that when they get a lot of people buying it at once. So that would be helpful. And the other thing I wanted to mention was just, again, that I teach Tuesday night at the Rocky Mountain Miracle Center here in Denver. I have a class from 7 to 8:30 each week. Also, that you might want to check out my website, which is www.forayzinforgiveness.com. You can sign up to get email blog posts and news from that site if you wish. And there's a lot of information on there. I interview Ken Wapnick frequently. I've just started interviewing his wife, Gloria Wapnick. There's some interviews with Gary Renard there. There's, I do mentoring, there's questions and answers. There's a lot of material there for anyone interested in the course or anyone that's practicing the course, I think would find very valuable.
Ooh, and that gives me some ideas, Susan.
Yeah.
For getting some of that material and using it on our morning show here on 1-2 Radio.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Oh, we will have to have a conversation about that. Because, you know, I love the morning show. Mostly it's, you know, we have the reading of the lesson four times on the hour and every 15 minutes. But then we do use some of Ken's recordings, which, of course, I absolutely love. Because, once again, I find myself laughing at him with him, rather, because, in fact, just even like I said about a month ago, he was saying, you know, when you're doing these workbook lessons, be willing to do them badly.
Right.
You know, that's the issue. That's the issue. This is not about perfection. Be willing to just do them
right.
And even do them badly. So, you know, let's definitely talk about the possibility of maybe using excerpts of those maybe on that morning show. I mean, if that's something that we could do and, you know, it wouldn't be a copyright violation or something like that.
No, so, I don't think so. Ken has been wonderful, and I visit there a couple times a year, let me make one last plug, if I could, for Ken Wapnick. I would not have a clue, I don't think, what the course is saying or how to practice it, or not have realized any of these benefits if I had not really begun to immerse myself fairly early on within the first like year and a half of coming to the course in Ken's teachings. That really changed everything for me. And continues to change everything for me. So I can't recommend him more highly. And there's so much information available at the website, at the Foundation for A Course in Miracles website. And, you know, there's lots of free downloadable material, and his audios and DVDs are all on there and available. Lots of books that are just all fabulous. And listening to him on CD is something that I do all the time, and I think it really keeps me focused. So I'd recommend it.
Oh, yes, and thank you for that, too, because I agree. Ken Wapnick is just, to me, the premier teacher of A Course in Miracles. And once again, he's so down-to-earth, and he's so funny, and he doesn't let you get away with anything. And
so,
and people also tell you, you can go to his website, and you can purchase the CDs. I mean, there are just, how many of them? Hundreds of them on there?
There's hundreds of them. Can I recommend a couple?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I wanted to, for anyone who's new to the course, there's two that I would recommend, and that the first one is What It Says, and that's it's a great, you know, just a summary from the, it's about the preface of the course, which talks about all the major themes of the course, and it will give you a really good foundation in the course. And the other one is called Living A Course in Miracles. It's also a wonderful compilation and really helps with you understanding the foundations of the course and also the practice of the course. And then there's one that I just have been listening to lately that has helped me so much. And it's pretty new, 2012, and it's called Forgiveness Now, Those You Do Not Forgive You Fear. And I could not recommend it more highly. It is really jump-starting my practice and has helped me enormously. I've listened to it twice now, and I just think everyone should listen to it if they're really interested in forgiveness.
Okay, well, thank you for those recommendations. And also, people, I hope you will join us every morning at 7 a.m. Pacific for the Course in Miracles workbook lessons that we're doing on 1-2 Radio. And a lot of those shows, during that hour, we do have excerpts of Ken's teachings. So if you want to kind of get a flavor of what that's like, please join us there. And Susan, I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that you'll come back. And I look forward to finishing your book and getting all the recipes out of it. So thank you so much. And audience, I want to tell you thank you very much for listening in today. And for those of you in the chat room, thank you very much for your participation. And thanks to our wonderful producer, Tracy Kleiner. So please stay tuned. Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone is up next. I'm handing the microphone over to Kelly now. So this is CA signing out. You are listening to Simple Tales on Transformational Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, changing the way we think about the world.